what comes out, and maybe unsurprisingly, but nonetheless disturbing, is that women are very much underrepresented in film. Of all speaking characters in film, only about one-third or less than one-third are female. Only 23% of leads or co-leads, meaning protagonists in film, are women. And for example, when you look at the workforce as it is depicted in film, you see that while women in real life are between 40 and 50% of the workforce, in film they only constitute about 23% of working women. And the only area where women score higher than men in film, sadly, is when it comes to sexually revealing attire, sexually revealing clothing. And that, of course, in and by itself says a lot about, you know, about the world of film and how women are depicted.
So you talked about several conclusions already, right, of this study. But did you expect these results, or did you expect something different?
Quite frankly, we did not expect anything that would widely differ. We knew that the representation of women in film is not on a par, and it's not on an equal basis in terms of number, but also in terms of quality, with the depiction of male characters, for example. And let me quickly say something about the quality. We were talking about working women and the workforce in films. And while it is true that women are already much less depicted as working people, as opposed to men, and it's far from reality, it's also in which positions do they work. Of those women who are shown working in films, a lot work in positions as secretaries, assistants, salespeople, meaning normally in professions where the educational level is not necessarily particularly high and where the pay level is not particularly high. You hardly see women in leadership positions in the private sector or as politicians. And of course that is significant, because children take a lot from film, and in a way there are role models that are being presented to children. This study is significant not so much in that it yielded results that were completely unexpected, but in that it for the first time provides the data that we need in order to advocate for change and to effect change.
And I would like to know where this data is coming from. What movies did you watch?
We looked at the 11 biggest markets and looked at the top grossing films in a given year during which the study was undertaken, so that we really had the international comparison of the biggest markets and the biggest films in the same period of time for this study.
We cannot really tell the directors what to do. This is the way they see the world, and they have the right to see it their own way, right? What could be done?
Well, I think we can tell directors, and we can tell film producers, and we can tell film executives. As a matter of fact, the Gina Davis Institute is exactly doing that. Very often, it is not even deliberate or intentional. It's just the way films have always been made. So, to raise the awareness is really the first step. And I think many film creatives would be willing to follow that lead once, you know, that realization has reached them. The other thing is, of course, there is a growing awareness along with this that women increasingly are a market force who control budgets. That also means that they are deciding in which movies to see and which movies to watch. Women are more and more, if you want, an independent audience, and an audience that in that sense votes with their feet by going or not going to the box office to watch a particular movie. So in that sense, also as an audience, you know, there is an influence that can be exerted, and that is increasingly inserted. But to advocate with the film industry is certainly something that can be done, where the study is a very important step to really show what the status is, and that the realities of 50% of the world's population, and that means also 50% of the viewership, are not taken sufficiently into account. And I think that is an important realization for executives in the film industry.